Ephesians chapter 5. We are in a series of Bible verses or passages that could change your life if you obey them. You know, you accept the Lord as your Savior and you are born again. That will never change. But this process of growing means what? The Christian walk is filled with one corner after another to turn, right? And you can go many years if you don't follow God's word without turning any corners. But you open the word of God and you know there's just that principle and truth of scripture that you hadn't grasped yet, and you grasp it and you turn another corner and grow some more. And that's what we're doing. We're just looking at passages that maybe really apply to you, or maybe you've already got this as a part of your Christian walk. But these are passages that are life-changing for the believer who just obey them. And today's passage is in Ephesians chapter 5. I come from a long line of hunters, the hunting patriarchs in my family. This would be my great-great-uncle Louis Rincon, the Nino, my grandfather, my dad. They always, when it came to especially deer hunting, they always made all kinds of plans at the start of each day of hunting. Before they even loaded their rifles, they had spent time looking at the day, laying out where they were going to go, what they were going to do. And you know what I noticed? These men often got deer, and they never got lost. Neither of those can be said about me. You know, setting goals is one thing, but achieving them, that's something else, isn't it? And achieving your goals really requires something very important, and that is planning. Having a plan and laying it out. How many times have you dialogued with somebody something like this? You know, we really should go out to lunch sometime. Oh yeah, that sounds like a really great idea. I would love it. And it never happens. Why not? You had a goal. You didn't have a plan. That's why it takes planning to follow through with these goals that we set. You know, there's all kinds of business seminars and workshops. I've taken several of them on planning. And a lot of these workshops have good ideas and some practical techniques. But secular planning techniques always fall short of what God has to say about planning. Okay? And we're going to look at what God has to say in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Let's read that. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And at first glance at this text, one might say, how in the world does this apply to planning? Well, it seems that it's more about time management, isn't it? Yes, but good time management takes planning. And here is what God has to offer that business seminars do not. Every plan you make comes with it eternal results. Your plans will either result in being burned up in God's timetable and having no really good consequences that last, or they will be results that echo into eternity. One or the other, that makes planning important. And if you can grasp this truth, that everything you do in life matters is going to drastically affect how you plan. Now, you young people in here, okay? We're not saying that you should sit down and plan your whole life. You're just going to be disappointed if you try that. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. What we're saying is the things you do in this life matter. They matter. Whether you do them well or you do them poorly, they matter. So planning is important. And rather than pointing out the various techniques of planning, what this text really does, it shows you three things that biblical planning really means, okay? And it doesn't matter if you're discussing your marriage or your next committee meeting or if you're planning a vacation, doesn't matter. Or if you're trying to figure out what you're going to do now that you've graduated from high school. The meaning of biblical planning, this applies to you. Now, Christian just read this morning from the book of James chapter 4. And in light of that text, it's true, you cannot know what a day will bring, right? That's what James was saying. You can plan the day, but you don't control what's going to happen. But a well-planned day better enables you to deal with the unexpected. That's why God says, make the plan, just understand that God's will may contradict your plan. It's been said that for the sailor who doesn't know what port that he's sailing to, every wind is the wrong wind. You gotta have a plan. And that's what he's teaching us in Ephesians chapter 5. What does it mean to have a plan? Well, I'll go back to verse 15. He says, see then that you walk. Now, the word walk is often used in the New Testament to refer to how you live your life. Because living for the Lord Jesus is meant to be active, not passive, sitting there. It never says, see then when you sit, when you walk. It says living for the Lord. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Number one, planning means that you wake up. You're going to walk for the Lord and work your plan and plan your work for him. And you got to wake up. This word circumspect, this is a great word. It is a translation of the word that means to have diligence and precision. As opposed to just being slap happy and haphazard. Diligence and precision. The word circumspect means circumference. Around, spect, where we get spectacles, okay, to look. Circumspect means to, with precision, look around, okay, wake up. In my wood shop, projects that I have made up as I go along have never turned out really well, you know, but when I start with a plan and put it on paper, I get a much better result. And some people say, well, you know, I just like to, but planning takes time, so I just like to go for it. Well, if that's the way you're going to live your life, you're going to be frustrated because you're just not looking around. You're walking in your sleep, sleepwalking. Very little good gets accomplished when sleepwalking. And children do that all the time. Have you ever done that as an adult? It can be really weird, and especially if you wake up in a room that is not where you went to sleep. What was it, last year or a couple years ago? I don't remember this happening. Naomi woke up in the middle of the night to me beating on the bedroom door. Just beating on it. Boom, 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 boom. She said, what are you doing? And I said, I was trying to find the doorknob. And I said, I want out. I don't remember this at all. Because when you're asleep, you just don't accomplish anything that is worthwhile. And this is how people are living their lives. This is how Christians are living for the Lord without looking around. And it's unwise, it says in verse 15. It says, not as fools, but as wise. A fool is not somebody with a low IQ. There are high IQ'd people who are fools. There are low IQ'd people who are walking in wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is applying what God has said. Wisdom is knowing what God has said and applying it to how you live your life. Now you're looking around. Now your eyes are opened. If you just don't plan at all, you walk around in the dark, bad things happen. I remember one time, this was back a long time ago, working for my dad, went to the yard, and there was a gate, big, huge, long, 8-foot gate. It was at my grandparents' house because that's where the yard was, the iron yard. And we usually, it closed off the patio, and it was an iron gate with wooden slats in it. My dad built it, and we would open it up in the mornings and open up that patio. And I got there really early one day, and my dad hadn't gotten to the shop yet and wasn't opened. So I pulled my truck around, pulled in front, went over, opened that big gate. I can't remember if it was on a wheel or not, but it was so long, and I pulled it open. And then I got in my truck and went to move it and threw it in reverse and back right into the gate that I had just opened. put a nice big old dent in it, split the first couple slats of wood. Oh, there's a nice prepared job my dad's got to do because he's not busy enough running a company. That's what happens when you're just not looking around. Had I taken a little more time and slowed down, and I was bad at this. Another time I got to the yard, my dad had gotten there, and he had just built a new entrance gate to the yard. And this was another big, long, wrought iron, wood-slatted gate on rollers, on wheels. Okay, so there was on a runner, and what you do, you open it. Well, he made it so, with such precision, that it was really smooth. I mean, a big, huge, heavy gate, and a small person, you just push it right open. Well, I hadn't seen it yet. Pulled up, wanted to pull my truck into the yard. Oh, Dad's got a new gate there. I went over there, grabbed it, figured this thing must be heavy, and I pushed it with everything I had. Boom! That thing ran off the roller, jumped the track, and fell on one of my grandma's bushes. Oh, great. See? Not looking around. This way you're going to live your life, you are going to leave a wake of that kind of destruction. Only the destruction won't be gates and bushes, it'll be people. Look around. Wake up. You know, I've reminded myself so many times, God puts obvious limitations on my wisdom, but none whatsoever on my stupidity, so I better wake up. I better look around. Walking as a fool, I think it's something that comes naturally to people. It takes the power of Christ to walk in wisdom, and it is a skill that grows if you will let it. Okay? Failure to recognize your surroundings before you act, before you speak, it means running into obstacles that you didn't see. Okay? It means mishandling the obstacles that are in front of you because life is filled with them, as you're going to see. So he says, walk circumspectfully, or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then he says in verse 16, well, verse 15, by the way, is a command, walk. It's a command. It's called an imperative. Verse 16 and 17 have participles, how you carry out the command. And they add to this meaning of what it is to make a plan. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, there's the participle. This is how you walk. Redeeming means to purchase. So the second meaning of making a plan, well, the first one is to wake up. The second meaning of making a plan is buy up. Buy it. Buy up what? The time. This word redeem is the exact same word used of Jesus Christ who redeemed us with his own life on the cross. To redeem means, number one, to buy something out of destruction. We are on the path to destruction because we are sinners by nature. Jesus Christ bought us off of that destruction block. It also means to buy out of destruction at a very high cost. That's what redeem means. You notice when you plan, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. Buy up the time. That comes at a high cost. Time is a valuable commodity. You only get one shot with the time that you have. And when it's gone, it's gone. So you can either buy it up and make the most of that time or you can waste it. That's up to you. What's not up to you is the fact that you can't get that time back. And it really is true. It's like the older I get, the more I realize the truth of that song that says, time may change me, but I can't change time. It just keeps right on marching. It will not slow down. It will not wait. And it won't come back. It just goes. So I have the option to let it go and waste it, or buy it up, redeem it. But to redeem it comes at a cost to you. It comes at a sacrificial cost. But look at time as not something you have not enough of while the person next to you has more of. This is not true. Everybody has the same amount of time. It's what you do with it that matters. So consider it on a conveyor belt. A conveyor belt to destruction. What are you doing with that time? If you buy it up and make the most of it, you're going to see that while it takes work, it actually saves work too. It really does. Buying the time will save you a lot, regardless of what you're doing. He says, do this because the days are evil. That word evil, that's actually there's better translations. This is not the same word for evil that the New Testament uses to describe the antithesis of God and his holiness. Then you have evil, which is against God. That's a different word. This actually should have been translated. Maybe some of you have a different English translation that uses the word hardship. And he says the days are evil of verse 16. What he's saying, redeem or make the most of your time because the days are troublesome. They are filled with obstacles. Okay? And if you don't wake up and make the most of that time, those obstacles are going to get the best of you. You're going to trip up over them. And obstacles, if not maneuvered correctly. And it takes time to plan to avoid that. A couple of months ago, we had a wedding in here in Paxton. Nelson was our ring bearer. Okay? And the flower girl went in front of him and threw petals all the way up the aisle. Okay? And then he came. And he had it in his head, you're not supposed to step on those petals. He thought they were obstacles. So he's staggering back and forth up and down the aisle, swinging the pillows with the rings on them like a suitcase. He staggered so much, when he got to the steps, he tripped. Okay, Joshua caught him, stood him up, took another step, tripped again, stopped. And this is exactly what you're going to do if your life is planned in such a way that you don't plan, you don't make the most of your time. You're just going to stagger, you're going to trip, you're going to fall. You're going to constantly hit the dirt. Because the days are filled with trouble in this life. It just is. Some of the trouble we bring on ourselves. And some of it, you don't. It's just, that's the nature of life. Circumstances bring trouble. People bring trouble. God brings trouble. It says in James, count it all joy when you suffer various trials. Why? Because God is doing that for the strengthening of your faith and of your walk. So, since God's involved, then plan your time by buying it up, redeeming it, making the most of it. And then he says in verse 17, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Planning means not only do you wake up and buy up, but thirdly, planning means listen up. Listen up. This is the second time wisdom comes up in this text. The second time. He says, therefore, do not be unwise. First time, you're told to be diligent and precise, and that's wise. Now he says to be understanding is to be wise. Understanding of what? God's will. See, that is really the crux of biblical planning, the will of God. What does God have to say? He says you can understand God's will. You can't understand it. Here it is. It's in this book. It's a lifelong pursuit to grow in that understanding, but you can do that. You got to listen to what God has to say. We got way too many Christians listening to everybody else except God. And when you listen to your own feelings and your own emotions and place those above the will of God, you're not listening. When you listen to contradictory advice and counsel that goes against the will of God, you're not listening. Well, at least you're not listening to what you should be listening to, and that is God himself. His will can be understood. The idea of understanding is to bring it together. Piece it all together. Right? So when you listen to what God has to say, you're bringing together his truth. Right? Now, you may wish to know God's will before you take action. If you do, you may wait a while. God makes no promises to tell you and lay out your life before you step foot in faith. He doesn't do that. This verse doesn't mean you got to understand what God's will is for you before you act. Rather, you gain understanding of God's will when you act. But what are you supposed to act on? What he has said here. Okay, what this says. Because I can point to black and white pages that explain God's will. I cannot point to pages that tell me what his will is for me personally tomorrow. You know, 18 years ago, I would not have guessed it was God's will for me to raise 3 New Yorkers. I didn't imagine that. Move to New York, live there all that time. I didn't know that. He didn't paint that anywhere. He didn't paint it in the wall, in the sky, and he sure didn't put it in the Bible. I don't know what that part of God's will is in advance. I just live it by following this will. And this you can know. You can know the will of God and understand it and grow as you walk. To realize God's involvement in all the plans you make, folks, that's wise. That's wisdom, according to verse 17 and according to James that Christian wrote, read this morning. If you plan your work, your vacation, anything in your life as if God is not really here, that makes you a practical atheist. You may believe in the Lord, but when you live as if he's not involved, in all practice, you're living as if there is no God. And that's foolish, because it says in Psalm 14:1 that it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. So planning, it does not disallow for flexibility. You got to be flexible because God may change your plans. Okay, that's what James wrote. It doesn't disallow spontaneity. Okay, there are times in your life, man, when the iron's hot, you strike, right? Planning just means that you wake up to your surroundings. Right? You buy up the time restraints that God gives you, and you listen up to what God is doing by reading his word and listening to what he has to say. Now, you do that, man, wisdom will just reign in your life, and you'll do what God says, not necessarily how you feel. And productivity for the Lord will just soar, all because you took the time to make a plan. Could change your life. Father, we just thank you again for giving us everything we need to live not only eternally in the next life, but to walk with you in this one. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and the eternal life he offers. I pray for anyone here today who has not put his or her trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to receive that wonderful eternal life that will never be taken away. Open hearts, open minds today. For those of us who have trusted you and know you and need to turn this corner and stop making plans as if you're not there, but make them because you're there. Open our hearts, open our minds to grow just a little bit more as a result of your word and as a result of your plan. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.